Hey, welcome everybody. I'm Brother Goodwin coming to you here at Prophecy in the Spotlight. We're so glad that you've joined us today. We're going to continue with our thoughts on Christmas, the truths of Christmas from Dr. Hiltemiddle. He's sitting right here. And we're going to start this week off with the wise man. And boy, I've got some questions. He's giving me some stuff, but I got some questions that I'm going to ask Doc that he doesn't know about. We're going to try to put him on the spot here. And I like doing that. But let me read a couple of verses here. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. We're gonna discuss why they're troubled here in just a couple minutes. Why was Herod and all Jerusalem, why were they troubled that these men had just come seeking this Messiah? So we're going to look at that and many other things in today's program. So fasten your seatbelt. Doc's got some good stuff to share with us. Truths of Christmas. Stand by. Hey, greetings, everybody. Glad to have you with us today in our part two of the Truths of Christmas. We do this every year here at Protestant Spotlight. Doc is an expert on this. He has studied this hundreds of hours. We got some books stacked up on the desk here that Doc wanted to put. I don't know if he's planning to say anything about those, but some of these books are books that he has pored over and got historical information from that he's been teaching for many years about Christmas. So, Doc, is there anything you wanted to say about those books before we go?
Well, I get asked all the time, where do you find this information and all of that? This is just three of the major books, along with lots of file folders full of materials that I've gathered over all the years. And a friend of mine, Dr. Ron Charles, he's called it The Search, and you'll find it very, very informative. He spent years traveling the globe. He's a rogue scientist, scholar, and an archaeologist, and amazing information. Some of it you could find in, also this is a book written by Dr. McIntosh, and Dr. McIntosh was a Mennonite preacher back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. He took a steamship, went to Palestine at the time before World War I. And a very interesting, wonderful insight, visiting places, discoveries. And then, of course, Alfred Erdschein's book, it's a big one and it's very thick, very, very difficult, but he's a saved Jew, tremendous insight, amazing information. This book, called the Historical Records Concerning Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Originally, the name was The Birth, the Life, the Death, the Resurrection, or the Burial, and the Resurrection and Ascension of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
These are three of the major books, as well as information out of Roman archives that I have in other files.
Yeah.
Where I gathered this material.
All right. These wise men show up, and we're going to get into why people think there's three. We'll get into all that in a minute.
Yeah.
But I want to start off with something tough that I was thinking about yesterday. And I almost called you, but I said, no, I'm just going to spring it on him. I want to see what you think of my question here and see what rolls around in your head and share it with our folks here. Here's what I was thinking about. Yesterday, as well as today in the truck, driving to the studio, I'm mulling this over in my mind, I've got some thoughts of my own on it, but I want to see what you think of what I'm going to ask you. The three wise men, they're not in Israel. They're outside of it. They came from the east, it says. It's called the wise men. That never says three wise men. They show up in Jerusalem, mm-hmm. and they come to the palace. They know where to go, and they ask, where is he born king of the Jews? We've come to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the question. Why is this in the Bible? Why did God lead these men there? And why did God need these men? What do you think about that?
Well, I think one of the reasons was he needed them to search their own scriptures and discover that their Messiah was born.
Okay. In other words, Herod and his people.
Yeah. Well, primarily the scribes, because Herod has to go ask the scribes, and the scribes have to go back and search their own scriptures because they evidently weren't doing a very good job.
So it suddenly made the leadership of Israel wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, it is time.
Not only that, but Herod, when he hears news of a king, wait a minute, I'm king. None of my descendants have just had a baby. What's going on here? And maybe we'll get to it after a while, but there'll be coming a time in about 3 years from after the birth of Christ, just about 6 or 8 months after these men come, within a year of their visit, Herod is going to be put on trial in Rome for why he killed all the baby boys. He's going to have to give an answer to Rome on that at the Senate. He's on trial before the Senate at Rome. And in that trial, he loses it. And the verdict is you have X number of time between now and you either give your throne to another or we take it from you. And, of course, we know he died the day or two before it was that date hit.
Now, this is not in the Bible. This is historical.
Historical
stuff.
Evidence, right. Yes, absolutely. And so in his defense, he said, I was trying to protect Rome because there was supposedly an illegitimate king that was supposed to take your place. That was his defense, part of his defense before Rome.
Wow.
And when they show up, all of a sudden, everybody now is made aware of the fulfillment of prophecy, or these wise men, and the word men is plural, and it's a whole lot more than three, are coming from the east. How did they get their information? And I think I can answer the understanding how they got the information. They got it, basically, it came from Daniel and Daniel's teaching. He had a star student by the name of Zoroaster, who out of the Chaldean Empire influenced the eastern nations that were outside of the Persian and later Greek and Roman Empire. They were on the other side in the east, and they were influenced by Zoroastrianism, and part of that was there was a time coming, according to the great teacher Daniel, that there's going to be a movement of the heavenly bodies to tell us when heaven's king is appointed on the earth. So they're coming.
So, what qualifies somebody to be a wise man?
A wise man.
In this instance.
Well, we think today in our world that means they got DDD or DDT or DM or whatever at the end of their name, some kind of title. But in reality, in that day, to be seen as a wise man simply meant that you are of a person of stature, a person of preeminence in the kingdom. Might have been a sheriff, could have been a prime minister. It's an individual who holds a position that has importance and influence, would be considered a magi. That's the original word, magi, we call
here. And I like that little saying that popped up years ago. I like it. Wise men still seek him.
That's right.
And I had a little sermon I used to preach. We all have our Christmas sermons.
Oh, yeah.
And
I had to throw a bunch of them out years ago. But anyway.
I had one called Three Wise Guys. and I know the three is just different. But it's interesting to me, though, you can look at what they did just in this instance, what made them wise. They followed the Lord. They sought him. They bowed down. They worshiped him. They gave of their resources to him. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's more than a degree from an institution or a title on the door, the wise man, Mr.
Well, when
so
we get to answering the question about what was the gift they brought, I think we'll get a better understanding of that. Yes. But yes, wise men still seek Jesus, absolutely.
So that brings me to the next simple thing here. Why does everybody think there are three wise men?
Because there were three gifts.
Right.
But I can tell you from not only the research from these books, but others that I have, that there would have been as many as maybe 1,000 camels in the camel train.
Wow. How far did they travel?
Well, they traveled all the way from the 13 federated nations on the east side of the Persian Empire.
Any idea how many miles that is or how many days it took or months?
Well, it was, according to the Roman archives, it was about 21 months later because about after he did what he did, Herod did what he did with the children, news got back to the Federated Nations that had brought the gift and paid homage to what they thought was heaven's anointed king to rule the earth. And you got to remember, Isaiah had already written about the birth of a birth of the baby. It was not only going to be a virgin birth, but it was going to be, he was going to have the government, the world's government on his shoulders. And he's just a little bit before and contemporary, basically, almost with Daniel. He's just before Daniel. So Daniel knows these things. He shared them. So so they have come bringing their gifts.
Now, would you agree that somebody's kind of the head guy? There's always going to be a leader.
I'm sure there
was. Who is it that said, where is he born king? We've come to, somebody made that statement.
There may have been, yes. But we know that there were 13 federated nations. As a matter of fact, we're talking China and India and all of these people that's on the east of. You get you a map and look at the original Persian kingdom, which later is going to become basically the Roman kingdom, which will get even bigger. But anyway, this is there. And east of that was 13 nations that were federated together. They kind of like Canada is. Canada's got these provinces that are federated together. And it was under Russia's confederation. They had all these nations, but they were federated together under communism. Well, they were federated together. And they together had a much larger army, if you put them all together, than the Roman armies. And on, I believe it was January 18, if I remember right in the records, about 23 months or so after they had come to Jerusalem, they sent another entourage back to Rome, declaring, we're getting an army together because we hear you killed heaven's appointed king. And they got a 10-year duty-free trade zone to stave off war. That's what brought King Herod to trial and brought judgment upon him, was all of that.
So what was it and when was it that these wise men realized it was time to head there?
Well, it appears that Daniel had said, was talking about a star, and in that you realize he's talking about a movement of constellations. And it's obvious on day number 4, God put all of these movements of the constellations and all the stars in order, in their order, he said. So 4,000 years before this, it's obvious God had designed the time in which he was going to move the heavens to make a statement to those that were looking. Not uncommon for the people of the East, anybody that had Chaldean influence in them would have been stargazers. They would have been looking at this. Many were astronomers and many were astrologers. And so they were looking for the movements, and they understood all of these, what was happening. And we don't have time to talk about, but the certain planets are, and certain constellations are associated with certain countries. And the stories that's revealed in the research of these three, as well as some others that I have, would indicate that the movement of the Jupiter, which is the king star, we call it a planet, seemed to pass through the constellations of Virgo as a king child being born. As best we can tell, it's only happened twice in all of history. And somehow or another, I don't know how, but God designed it so it would happen as it did. And to them, it said they had each one of these for different parts of the world in which they had of a known world at the time. To the men of the East, they would have seen it saying, a king is born in Jerusalem, because that's what the movement would have told them.
Now, when that happened, would that have been the same day Christ is born?
Possibly.
Yeah. So my point is, everyone thinks that they're going to go to Bethlehem because that's where he's born. But this is a year and a half or more later,
about 18
right?
months from their own records. By the way, in two of these books, as well as other materials that I've gathered, five different historians wrote about the camel train. Three of them were riding with the camel train.
Oh.
And one lived in Damascus and the other in Jerusalem. And so when it says all of Jerusalem was troubled, can you imagine an entourage of about 1,000 camels in a camel train showing up in Jerusalem? Because you see, in the Roman Empire, you had ports of entry.
Mm-hmm.
If you were coming from the east, you would have come into this area up where Matthew would have been the seat of customs. And so instead of coming in that way, they made a direct beeline there. So there's all kinds of, what's all this doing? Can you imagine they're bringing gold? And they're going to travel through what we would call in our world today Badlands. They didn't come just the dignitaries from 13 countries.
Okay, so let me stop you right there, because we'll get to the gold and myrrh. They go to Jerusalem. Why? I guess
because they've seen the movement of the stars that tells them the king's born in Jerusalem.
Oh.
That's what they see, the movement.
But
of
really,
the,
it's, he's the king of Jerusalem, kind of.
Yep.
The king of the Jews.
Right.
And I guess it's the obvious place to go. You go to the county seat, or
that's right.
So
you
to speak.
Go to where he was born, Jerusalem.
Yeah,
and
but so they didn't understand the Bethlehem part of it.
Oh no!
And it wouldn't have done no good to go there. That was a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
he's not there.
He's
anymore.
Not there. He's up in Nazareth, and so because after 8 days, you know the story. Jesus is circumcised on the eighth day, and all that, and then after her purification is over, and they move back home. So they're not in Bethlehem when they arrive. But anyway.
But when they actually go to him, when Herod says, go find him, come tell us, we want to worship him too, as they're sharpening the knives.
Yeah.
They went to Nazareth, I guess.
That's where they would have gone.
Now, how did they know that?
Well, it says when they left there, the star led them.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So here's the thing. Stars can really only lead you east or west. Because of the rotation of the earth and all. That movement would have brought them from the east to the west. But to go from the east, let's say you're coming out of China and you make your way over there, take you about 15 months, I guess, to get all the way here. Here you get over here, and what's going to lead you then 3 days ride north? It has to be, I don't know. And everybody's got their own ideas, and it's fine. But I believe it's the Shekinah glory of God that led them there myself. But anyway.
There is a guy.
He said his star.
Yeah. There was a guy that I watched years ago, and I think I still have it, the Star of David or something.
Mm-hmm.
This guy did some research.
Yes.
He thought he found through NASA a couple of planets that came together. And but I don't know.
Yeah. In about 6 and again 4 B.C., you had this kind of alignment. what may have been in line with some may say it was in alignment with when Mary is in, comes with child of the Holy Ghost, and the other is when the wise men show up. But anyway, what I wanted to say is this: out of those five riders, three of them riding with the camel train, there would not have been just the dignitaries. They would have had their cooks. They would have had their military support. You're talking a large entourage of people that show up.
Can you imagine Nazareth? Nazareth. That's not Jerusalem.
Well, the writer, the historian in Damascus, I'm sure he stretched it out a little ways, but he said, the first camel left the gates of Damascus at sunup, and the last camel departed at sundown. I don't know if that's true or not, but it indicates it was a large entourage.
But imagine that showing up in Nazareth.
Yeah.
That's just a little
place.
Yes. We call it the other side of the tracks. I mean, it wasn't Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And here's something interesting, too. Being warned of God. This is the wise men.
Mm-hmm.
After they've come to him, they've given him the gifts, and we're going to talk about those gifts in a second. They're warned in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Yeah.
So God is speaking to these
men,
or a couple of them, or one of them. I don't know how many of them.
I don't know.
In a dream, gives them a message. They seem like they didn't doubt it. They understood.
No, they didn't doubt it.
They believed it was from God.
Because if you were there and you realize, wait a minute, these guys don't even know anything about why we're here. You know? So how can we trust these folks? I don't know what all happened in their thinking, but it's obvious that God made sure that they went back after they'd done what they were supposed to do.
And you know,
they've alerted the world. Both the Jews and the Gentiles have been awakened to a Savior is born.
That's really got my mind rolling here. My wheels are turning up here. This is the thing that's been on my mind for a couple of days that I wanted to bring out here, and I wanted to ask you off the cuff, and I think you've answered it. These men, whoever they are, I don't know if we have any names, but
no.
God used them to stir the world, starting with Jerusalem, to realize he's here. The Messiah has been born, and he used these men from hundreds of miles away to be the thing that did that. They go and they bring gifts to him. God communicates with them in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
They go, they believe him. They believe in something. They came to Jerusalem because they believed the king was born.
That's right.
And this puts a whole new light on the wise men.
I think they had been searching the night skies for all those centuries of time from the days of Daniel. They've been searching it, looking, waiting, and all of a sudden, wow, look how this has never happened. We've never seen this before.
Can you imagine?
This has got to be it.
Can you imagine what's going on in their town where they live?
Yeah.
When suddenly, after all these years, that's it. It's here. The sign is here. Can you imagine the commotion going on at that moment?
That brings you to have an understanding then of what was the gift that they brought.
Okay.
I know, and it's not wrong for you and I. We see the words, and I don't doubt my King James Bible, when it says, and they worshiped him. They gave their gifts, and they worshiped him. The word worship there means to prostrate oneself. The gift that they brought from a historical secular setting, because they are coming as representatives of their nations, bringing a gift that is going to represent to this king that when you assemble and you take your throne, you are not going to have to conquer our countries, because in advance we're giving you the gift that was called the gifts of Ramses, which signifies that we believe you are heaven's appointed king on the earth.
Wow.
So spiritually, we see it, gold and frankincense and myrrh. We see it as a from a spiritual standpoint of deity and humanity and suffering, the things that was Jesus came for. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But these men were coming on behalf of their nations realizing that a major event on a world scale has just taken place. The gift of Ramses was first given to Ramses by Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon, saying after a war, "We recognize you as heaven's appointed king at the time." So it wasn't an uncommon gift given by nations to someone they saw as the absolute power at the time. But they were coming to say that when this child becomes on his throne, he doesn't have to conquer our nations.
Now, I have on here, of course, they brought the three gifts, and I don't know how, we don't know how much gold, we don't know how much.
That's right.
And maybe there's some thoughts in the history, I don't know, but
it's enough to sustain Joseph and Mary for a considerable number of years in Egypt.
That's what I was just going to say. God had everything worked out, didn't he?
That's right.
And he brought this wealth from outside the nation
exactly
of Israel.
Exactly right.
And men outside the nation of Israel stirred. Boy, isn't there a prophetic lesson there?
Yes.
Isn't it Christianity that is trying to stir up Israel to their roots and the Messiah and all that?
The gold, of course, the frankincense is very expensive.
Yes.
And so this was according to Luke chapter number 2, Mary's giving her account. And what our listeners and audience needs to remember, Luke is sitting down with Mary, and Luke chapter 2 is Mary's recollection of the events. She's reciting it to Luke, and he's recording it. And so she in the later Gamaliel by the Sanhedrin is going to be commissioned in Jesus's early days of ministry, and he's going to be commissioned to go find Mary and ask her these questions. It's in the 27th Talmud, and she gives a report there that they used that funds to sustain them as they stayed with some of her family in Egypt while they were away.
Well, Doc, this is awesome stuff, and every year I like to take another direction and share some other things, and I think you hit it out of the park today, I think. This is some very interesting.
There's a whole lot more, folks, a whole lot more. Get our materials, and you'll be encouraged greatly.
We got DVD, we got CD, we've got flash drives.
I have a lot of people that buy them for their children, give them to their families so they can watch them for Christmas.
And I think she's already put up how to get those, but you can always call the 800 number and inquire if you need to. What's this all mean, folks? What is Christmas all about? What is the coming of Christ? Why did these wise men and these hundreds of people or thousands, why did they travel so far? Because this King Jesus, is the Savior of the world.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. As Doc says all the time, it's all about redemption.
Yep.
I hope you know him. I hope you're born again because he's coming back. You better make sure you know him.
Amen.
Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.